This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
And what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the O2 podcast, the Ohio Outdoors podcast. Paul, what is up, my man?
Andrew, I miss you, dude. You've been traveling all over the damn Midwest and hunting deer, and I feel like I haven't seen you in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. So we are back at the house for a while.
Months compound?
The compound, but...
There you go, man.
I'll tell you what. You told me to get some of that Beards of Legend oil, and I stopped in there the other day and picked some up. And let me tell you, I got one of the scented ones that was recommended as a Paul Campbell favorite, and I think I'm liking it. Allie said she said I smelled like an old man.
Come on, Allie. Which one did you get?
Oh, boy. It has a red label.
Damned Legend?
Yep, that one.
Oh, that's a good one. You smell like a woodsy, like freaking Paul Bunyan, man. I like it. Good for you.
Yeah.
Your beard is looking good. You could shave it off at any minute. I think that you've come to enjoy it.
I kind of have. It gives me something to screw around with when I'm bored.
So. Yeah, there you go. Well, good deal, man.
Anywho, we are going to get into today's episode, and at this point, it is me and Paul. We're going to give you some rundowns of what's going on in the state, a little bit of recap. I've had a lot of people ask about our Michigan trip, so... I think we'll get into that. But first, thanks to our sponsors. Like you guys hear us tell every week, thank you to the guys over at Go Wild and Erica. I had to get myself.
God, you suck. Edit it out. Just kidding.
Good thing that's your place for
it's good.
For not worrying about that kind of stuff. But your social media platform for all things hunters, anglers, and everything under the sun for the outdoors. So this is the place to be. Super supportive community. They've been, I've been on there trying to post and comment on different, you know, bucks that have gone down. Some awesome deer, great support. This week,
I love seeing it.
This week's item of the week, Paul, stupid simple, but it's one of those things that once I used it, I was like, this is brilliant.
I use it constantly. Every time I go hunting, the Half Rack snack pouch. This is what, it's just a couple of bucks, man. It's not much. A little gray sack. It's a cinch sack. And it's like lined. It's food safe, waterproof. Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
We're going to talk a little bit about my hunting endeavors in Pennsylvania. And I ended up with like, I had to actually pack food for the day because we were out the whole time. And the first day I didn't use it. And then I was like, and I'm digging through my pack, like trying to find all the, you know, snacks and stuff. Then I was like, you idiot. You have this thing that is specifically designed for snacks. Let's use that on day two. Perfect. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Time2gowild.com. Check them out. Download it. Android, Apple. Find us on there. O2 podcast. Find me, Paul Campbell. There's a lot of deer pictures on there, man. I'm getting a little buck envy, not jealousy envy. I'm envious of those people. So keep them coming. So thanks to the newest member of the O2 family. We got Midwest Gunworks, midwestgunworks.com. We're going to get someone on where it's talking about building firearms. They got everything. If you have a gun that you want to get fixed, you want to tinker on, you want to send it in to Midwest for some gunsmithing, nonstop or like one-stop shop, Andrew. You can use the code Ohio Outdoors 5, save 5%. Pretty good deal there. Use that code, man. Don't forget that thing. I have a bad habit of like hearing about codes on podcasts. I'm like, oh yeah, what was that code? Ohio Outdoors 5, the number 5. Put in MidwestGunworks.com.
Yes. And next up is Tethered. Tetherednation.com. This is your saddle hunting gurus out there. So much information on that website. Good gear. They just launched some new stuff. Looking forward to catching up.
See that bow hanger that they've got?
Yeah, sick.
Dude, that thing was sweet. Yeah, it's pretty slick.
Got a new pack out. There's they got a lot going on. So that's definitely a great resource. We appreciate their support. And of course, First Light. Anybody knows me, I was wearing my First Light pants down to the conference today and got made fun of. But you know what? I love them. They're just
was that a hunting douche move? Someone fire a shot at you for being the HD?
Yeah, probably. Yes. So, but I don't care. They're super comfortable and versatile and haters.
Good stuff. Yep. There you go. Haters. So what do we got, man? News from around the state. There's gonna be something good. We need need to figure out how to press a button on the board to do that.
We are not that technologically advanced, Paul.
We are not. I still haven't killed a freaking deer.
Hold on. Let's see if this works. Did you hear a sound? Nope. It didn't work.
No. Yeah. We'll try it. We'll try it again.
Someday.
So let's see. News from the state. We've got the gun numbers are in.
All right.
It was just wrapped up yesterday.
So I was a little bit.
It was last day.
Yeah, I was a little bit concerned about this at first because I thought the numbers were down.
It was really low. Yeah, the first 2 days.
But I know there was some issues with the harvest reporting system. I think the online system went down for a moment there on the first day or something. I didn't experience it personally because I didn't have a deer to tag or to report. But overall, we've got 71,932 white-tailed deer were taken during the 2022 gun week that concluded on Sunday. So how does that compare? And I think that's always the number I look at. Like, yeah, that's a lot of deer, man. But how does it compare? What does it look like adding on to the rest of the year? So
it's above the average, wasn't it? Three years?
Yeah. So the three-year average is 68,534. So you're up there by a little over almost 3,500 deer. Compared to 2021, we're up by about 1,500. So last year it was 70,381.
Now, in your press release from the state, did it have the top counties for deer harvest in the state?
Of course.
Don't take a shot.
Let's go backwards. You want to go backwards?
Let's go backwards.
So we got the top 10. Holmes, number 10. Number 9, Washington. Number 8, good old Licking County. Number 7, Guernsey County. 6, Carroll County, Knox, what is that, 5, Ashtabula at 4, Tuscarawas at 3, number 2, the folks out in Zeeville, Muskingum County, Zanesville area out that way, and number 1, Coshocton County, and they took 2,457 deer.
No, you know, I would like to think that it's like Muskingum, Coshocton. There's a decent amount of public land out there, but Athens, Vinton County, those weren't even in the top 10, were they? And I know there's been some EHD issues down there, but man, there's a ton of public land in those counties. They didn't even crack the top 10. I spent the 2 days that I had available to gun hunt. I had a ton of work last week. I was in Hocking County at Clear Creek on that controlled hunt, and there's some deer dying.
Yeah,
there's some deer dying, but
okay. So
by my muzzle. What else you got?
A couple of other notes on this. Straight wall cartridges have been legal since 2014, and this year they accounted for 55% of the deer checked during the 7 day gun season.
Wow! Shotgun. I wonder if that's first time that that's majority of the. That's interesting. It's an interesting stat.
Shotguns were 38%, and then 5% were muzzleloader, 1% archery equipment, and then less than 1% with handgun. And let's see. There's something else on here I thought was interesting. All right, so this year, 376,617 deer permits have been sold. That was through Sunday. Non-residents have purchased just over 38,000 of those. Let's see. Most popular states that hunters travel from to come to Ohio.
Oh, this is good.
It's pretty. I think it's what you'd think for the most part. There's not.
I'm gonna say Vermont and New Hampshire top two.
Oh no, it's Pennsylvania
or Michigan, North Carolina.
Pennsylvania, no? Michigan, West Virginia, North Carolina, and New York. So.
Wow, I saw a lot of folks from Vermont and North Carolina in this week. That's an interesting stat. Does it give the hunter, the out of state, and the in state resident success rates? I guess we could figure that out.
Yeah, it's not listed on here. The next thing they've got, which this is important, and I think it gets overlooked a lot. And you know, we always get razzed about wearing your first light pants to a conference or whatever, but.
Douche.
Hunting drives $866 million of spending in Ohio each year for the sale of food, equipment, fuel, lodging, and more. That's according to the Sportsman's Alliance Foundation. So $866 million. That's a lot.
And fishing is substantially more than that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But there's a lot of money. There's a lot of jobs. So, you know, I was watching one of the THP videos the other day up in Wisconsin, and they had similar numbers for what their gun season does as far as revenue for the state and local businesses and all that kind of stuff. And that's the kind of stuff that I really do love to see that. And, you know, I just came back from Pennsylvania. I remember driving past over there. It's obviously a big deal too. One of their gas stations or something, a big sign on it said, "Good luck, hunters." Like, that's America right there, man. People and communities, small communities supporting each other. And
The hunting heritage, that's a big deal, man. It's important. It's overlooked by a lot of people. And I think for those of us, I mean, you and I, we've been hunting for 20 years each. It's up to us, the people that come into this sport, to this activity, whatever the hell you want to call it. It's up to us to kind of guide them through, you know, the heritage part of it and what it means to be a hunter and the impact that hunting has on one, you just talked about it, the economic impact in the state, $866 million. That's a ton of money. That's almost $1 billion in the state just generated by hunters. That is massive impact on communities, on businesses, on people and organizations. The trickle down, and we've talked about this, is the conservation effect. Hunting is conservation. Conservation is hunting. You can't have one without the other. And that's just how it works in this society and this system that we have. So be proud of what we do as hunters. Be proud of the impact that we have and the work that we continue to do. So that's really neat, man. $866 million. That's cool. It's be proud of our heritage.
Yeah.
We're creating it right now, you know?
And that's a good segue into the next news article, where ODNR is awarded $17 million to transform abandoned mine lands. And so when I first saw that, I'm like, $17 million, man, that's a lot of money. But when you compare it to $866 million that's been generated through the hunting, it's yeah, it's still a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. But that's why all this stuff kind of works together, right? So they've got some abandoned mine economic revitalization going on.
There's some grant funds that are in on that. I actually hunted an old mine, and for us, for those Athens County and Southeastern Ohio listeners, I was hunting the Millfield Mine disaster site. Dude, that place is wild, beautiful, but it's a very tragic story about that location in Ohio, but it's an abandoned mine. I mean, there's like freaking mine shafts on this property. So pretty wild.
And it looks like this money's being divided up between Athens County, Belmont County, Columbiana County, Lawrence County, Meigs County, and Vinton County. So a little bit of
mine country.
Yep.
Black diamonds, man.
Yes, sir.
So,
all right. A couple more here. Good stories from around the state. We've got Lake Erie region officers recognized for life-saving actions. Let's see. Officer Nathan Rouse up near Findlay State Park. He saw somebody in a ditch that had hit a tree, and he got out and helped them. And overdose. He revived the driver who had a broken neck. Ended up surviving the crash. Officers Adam Triscuit and Trent Waters.
Wait, Triscuit? Like the snack cracker?
Yeah.
Like, is it spelled the same way?
I don't. Maybe.
I mean, if you got stopped by like Officer Triscuit, he introduced himself as Officer Triscuit. I can't even not laugh saying it. I don't want to feel like I'm making fun of the guy, but I respect the guy in the position he had. I would laugh if he was like Officer Triscuit. I'd be like, wait a minute, are you messing with me right now? I'm not. Like, did you just meow? What are we doing?
I feel like it was an episode. Cat to you? Do I look like a cat?
Do I look like a cat?
Jump around all nibbly bimbly. well, these guys, they heard some honking in the parking lot. Upon investigation, they found a bow hunter who had accidentally shot himself in the foot. So.
Was it Officer Shredded Wheat? Was that his partner there?
Okay.
Dad jokes.
Yeah.
So, all right, move on. Officer, mute my mic. Can you mute me on this?
Right. Oh, I'll just edit you right out. officers Jeff Keller and Steve Masello patrolling Lake Erie. They received a distress call. Boat heading dangerously close to Erie County break wall. With about 5 feet to spare, the officers were able to turn the boat away from the break wall. Their quick action stopped the boat, which was carrying 5 passengers, including a young child, from crashing.
Wow. That's impressive.
These guys are out there, not just...
Did these guys, like, jump off of the boat? What are they, like, off of their boat onto the speeding boat? Man, that's crazy. Good for those guys.
Yeah. And we got, let's see.
That's some stones. What else? What else you got?
There's one from down in southern Ohio. Investigator Troy Newman and Natural Resources Officer Sergeant Michael Campbell were called out to rescue a man who had been beaver trapping in Scioto County when his kayak capsized. The officers navigated through dangerous flooded timber to retrieve the man, provided hypothermia first aid, and transported him to EMS waiting on shore. So,
oh, my God. What county was that?
Scioto. So I know a lot of times... These our game officers and stuff kind of get a bad rap, but they're out there to help you and protect you and the wildlife and everything. So, kudos to you guys. We appreciate you. And
it's a thankless job, man. It really is. So, yeah. But thank you to those guys, the men and women that are out there. Man, it's a dangerous job too. Thank you to all those guys. So, you know, do you have any other news? I have some news. We have this chart that we can see, and it's anyone can get on it. You can see where like podcasts fall, and I every once in a while, Andrew, I'll check just to see where we're, where we're sitting. And this is the second time that we've been in like the top 100 in podcasts for the wilderness segment in Canada. Of all, like, I don't understand, like. Maybe there's a lot of Canadians coming down to hunt deer or ducks, or I don't know, but we're like number 83 or something like that this week. Thank you for listening to our northern brothers. I love you. appreciate it. But yeah, it always strikes me as funny when I see that we pop into their top 100 there in Canada.
So. And we could try to talk in our terrible Canadian accents, you know.
If it makes Luthers, you, hey? Luthers. That was good, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Settle down over there. So what else you got, man?
Buddy, that's all.
How was PA, dude?
Man.
So you got roller coaster of emotions with PA. You got bumped out or you couldn't make it to the other one.
Yeah.
Hail Mary.
So, change of plans. Called up. I had the tag bought already and everything. So I called up Mitchell Shirk over at the Pennsylvania Woodsman podcast. Now, I'm going to give a quick shout out to Mitch because if you don't listen to his show, Mitch is younger than us. And I think he's like 30. That dude is sharp. I mean, he's sharp as a tack. And like his job is in agronomy. He's very, very well versed in food plots because that goes hand in hand with agronomy. It touches in what I do. So I can speak that language with him to a certain degree. But the dude's super sharp. But I said, hey, Mitch, I got this tag. I got time off of work. What are you doing next week? And he said, well, why don't you come over like Thursday, Friday, Saturday? We'll do some deer drives up at our deer camp. So I'm like, perfect. We'll get going. I got headed out that way. It was a good haul of a drive, beautiful drive through the mountains of Pennsylvania. But I got out there. No snow. It was cold when we were out there, but you know, it was one of those things in life. Sometimes you got to take some chances and risk and stuff. And I'll be really honest with you, Paul. Like I think we discussed, I had never met Mitch in person. We've talked to him on the phone numerous times, text with him all the time. But I had never met the dude in person. And I was like 3/4 of the way there. And I'm like, I am about to walk into a camp where I don't know anybody. Like, good thing I don't really have a problem talking to people and whatever. But I got there. Super, super gracious host. It was deer camp. Like you got the old pictures hanging on the wall of what they've, you know, things from the past. You would have loved some of them. Mitch's grandpa in his full red jumpsuit. Like you talk about all these camo patterns and stuff that people get all crazy about. And here these guys are out there killing deer in pure red, you know, just warm clothes. But you had multiple generations, friends, you know, college roommates, family members. We went out the first day and I've done deer drives in Ohio, but it's flat, here and it's not nearly, you know, the terrain. Also on a smaller scale. And I think when we would push, it would be about 3,000 acres or something and it would take up about the entire day, but it was good. That was in Ohio. Over there, I think they had 65,000 acres to screw around on. So it's big woods. It is deer drives, but you still have to find the pockets and funnel them in the right direction and all that kind of stuff. And, watching Mitch and his family and co-camp members go through, I took a couple pictures, but they're looking over the maps and Mitchell's like a general. Okay. And he would just lay this out like he's well thought this out. I've heard him do shows with people who've, you know, driven in the past. And he's really got a really good idea how this works. He knows those woods. And he's like, we're going to put standards here, here, and here. We're going to have the drivers push this and then wrap back around that way, whatever. Like, it was just very warlike. And it was an awesome process to watch. So the first day we got out there, let's see, we used radios and Mitchell does a pretty good recap of the whole camp on his show, or he's going to release that. I don't know when it comes out, but, we used the radios to talk. Of course, my radio, it died. So they had to come find me in the woods, which was standard Andrew hunting adventure. But, the second part of that day, we went through a swamp that was in the middle of the mountains, and it was a swamp. It's unique. I wouldn't think that you'd have something like that up there. He kicked up a really big mountain buck, and he went
nice.
He went right to one of the guys. Bobby put him down. I mean, and the way the drive was done, this deer was not sprinting out. It wasn't like a running shot, you know, at 200 yards. They bumped them just enough to get them to come out of this really thick, dark area. Put them down. Paul, that deer drag was that put my physical fitness to the test, because we had to go over two mountains to get back to that truck, and it was a couple miles, but holy smokes, it's not like dragging a deer out of flat Ohio.
I mean, I've dragged deer through Vinton County, and man, that's miserable. I can't imagine what you guys were doing. That's
okay. Ugh. The deer was
probably why did you guys quarter it up and just one of the guys carry out a section?
One of the guys suggested that. In hindsight, that might have been the smart idea.
Well, did people just like blow it off? Like, meh, no, let's just drag it out. There's eight of us.
Well, that's what it was. We had eight guys, okay, and we had 3 points. We had three ropes, basically. So we're like, oh, we'll just rotate it. And they said to me, they're like, oh, yeah, we just got to go over these two hills. Well, I'm looking at this big hill in front of us, and I saw like there was like a where it leveled out and then went up over. So I'm counting like 1, 2. Well, we get all the way to the top of what I counted number 2 hill, and they are like, all right, one more to go. And I look, and it's this massive drop down and then all the way back up. And I'm just like, wow, not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy.
Here we go.
A funny part was we were going down the hill. I'm the middle guy on the drag. I had to get out of the way because the deer was sliding down that hill so fast. The antlers were jamming me in my calf. I'm like, okay, this isn't going to be good. So whatever. We huffed it. We got the deer up. It was probably 175 pounds dressed.
It was a big deer.
It was a good sized deer.
And so, the pictures.
I'm trying to think. The rest of that day was fairly uneventful. We saw a deer on every drive, I think. But the next day was really cool. So if you listen to Mitch's show, he's got, I think it's his brother-in-law, Robbie, who we'll get on the show with him sometimes. But Robbie's family deer camp is like 30 minutes away. They brought their guys down. So you took our 11 and their 11 or whatever. We had 22 guys out there. Again, Mitch being the general, setting this all up, then giving it to his, you know, captains or whatever's next in line. I apologize to the military folk out there. I'm not versed in that. But, and then they would tell their people, right? So, all right, you guys go that way and you guys go that way. And everybody's on the same page. And we kicked up one of the guys from the other camp put an 8-point down early in the day. And then it got quiet for a while. And on the last drive, which honestly was, as far as landmass goes, it was the smallest of the drives. But they had all, that patch of briars and thicket was so full of deer. There was 3 or 4 shooters that came out. One of them went down. Mitch's dad, congratulations, Jeff, on a beautiful mountain buck. Got that one. A doe was taken. And then I almost got run over by a deer. Now, if you haven't hunted over there, they do have antler point restrictions. So this buck comes out, and he's probably like 50 yards away from me. And I see him come out, and if he was smart, and what I thought he was going to do is just going to go from one thick area to another thick area. And it was in between this like stream, you know, it was only like 40 yards wide or something. He comes across the stream, takes a 90-degree angle, and comes right at me. And I'm sitting there. And I'm excited, but I'm like, and he shot out of the thick stuff. By the time he was over the stream and turned to me, he had slowed down. He was still moving, but not sprinting, coming right at me. And I sat there and counted 1, 2, 1, 2. You got to have 3 points on a side, right, for a deer to be legal. 1, 2, 1, 2. I think I counted it 3 or 4 times. And he was getting closer and closer and closer, coming right at me. I'm sitting next to a tree. And I'm just like, I cannot make up a 3rd point anywhere on this deer. So he got to me within 5 yards. We're looking eye to eye. And then he like realized, oh, you're not supposed to be here. And boom, took off like a rocket and put it into the high gear. And so he was gone. But yeah, and I'll tell you the other thing that was cool about that whole idea of that hunt was – they had bear season open. So you had a bear tag, and you had the opportunity, if they kick one of those up, you could take home bear. And that's not something outside of our buddy Terrence, who we'll talk about here in a bit. Not something I've been around a whole lot. And then they have taken bears on that those drives before. So all in all, fabulous trip. Camaraderie in that cabin was amazing. Super welcoming. Learned a lot. I ate scrapple. I've never had scrapple before. I'm not even going to try to describe what it was, but it was well done. It was good. And I'm forever grateful for that opportunity. So what about you, Paul?
Definitely not as entertaining as yours. I only hunted 2 days. I'll keep it short. Clear Creek controlled hunt. It was cool, man. Saw a really nice deer come out of there. That is a hilly property. So went down there with my buddy Kenny. Had a great time. Thanks to him for tagging, bringing me along.
He got one.
It was fun. He did. Yeah. He shot Kenny. Kenny shot a really nice buck. I want to say Wednesday or Thursday of gun season, out in, I believe he's in Muskingum County, Muskingum Licking, somewhere out there at a friend's house. So congratulations to him, man. Super happy for him. But yeah, I my year of mediocrity continues, my friend. So I'm going to Killbuck Marsh on Saturday. Got a controlled hunt up there that I'm participating in. So other than that, man, I'm waiting for my controlled hunt, archery hunt, all of January. So we're gonna do some deer, some last ditch, last minute whitetail talk. We're gonna get someone smarter than me to talk about that. But yeah, as far as anything fun in Deer Woods, nothing. I'm looking forward to duck season. Duck season starts down here on Saturday. So as soon as I'm done with that hunt, I'm gonna transition to hunting ducks and geese and see how that goes.
I want to go out with you one of these days. See what it's like.
Yeah, we'll for sure do it. I've been seeing a lot of geese moving around. We've had a couple really cold days, cold windy days. Man, you see geese everywhere. Haven't seen a ton of ducks in the spots that I'm hunting. A lot of geese though, so I'll tell you.
Good.
But yeah. So you want to dive in? How much Michigan talk you want to do? You do it all?
Let's do it, man. I've had people ask me. They want to know. Ahead. People want to know.
The people want to know. Give them what they want to know. You so start. We went to Drummond Island. We've talked about on the show. Went with Bobby Herta from Wicked North, Glenn Reich from Kelly Brand Management, guys that we've gotten to know over the last couple of months. Great dudes. Dude, it was we've talked about it at various points, so I think we can kind of touch on the place is wild. Like, it looks super cool. It's a freaking island. First off, it's cool. The flora, the trees, the landscape, the rocks, it was so different than anything we have in Ohio. So
it was definitely one of those things. Like, as we were going up there, we had I don't know if we talked about it or not, but every gas station had a pallet of carrots, a pallet of corn, a pallet of apples, and a pallet of sugar beets.
Baiting is legal on public property
on Drummond Island.
On Drummond Island, yes.
I don't think it's legal anywhere else in the state. However, up there it was legal, and it was very prevalent. It was something, like, we bought some because we didn't really know what to do. If everybody else is doing it.
I dumped out a thing of carrots, never went back to hunt over it.
Yeah.
it's just how the week went. So I'm sure someone killed something off my carrot pile, but
or some happy deer out there. Definitely a weird place to hunt. I think the terrain reminded me of kind of like that Big Woods feel. We talked a lot about as we were driving out, and you could take side by sides or quads or whatever as you went out. They had ORV paths, off-road vehicle paths, and the rocks and how it would go. The terrain on that side was different because you would be going over an area and be like pea gravel. And the next thing, it'll be like slate, really flat, and then almost like a stamped concrete feel. And then you'd be on these boulders. It was like you were driving on the side of Alaska.
It was wild, man. We drove around the entire island a couple of times. It was like six different terrain types on one island. And this is a massive island. Like, this is, I mean, it's an hour from side to side. So it's
definitely,
it's pretty big.
And then you get these patches of like dark timber where I mean, we walk through some of them in the middle of the day.
I walked through a lot of it, yeah.
And it was, like, dark. Like, really
couldn't see.
Dark.
Yeah. Yeah, it was aspens and hemlocks and pines. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. You know, it's funny. So when we were going up there, heard that there are wolves on the island. And I talked to some people from Michigan. Like, there are no wolves on Drummond Island. There are for sure confirmed wolves on Drummond Island. So that was a new experience for me. Hearing them howl, hearing them bark. I mean, it's just like, it was wild. It was cool. It was funny. I was hunting by myself. I think it was probably 1,000 to 1,200 yards from everyone else. And those wolves started howling. I'm like, nope, hunt's over. I got back into your side by side and took off. There's like 30 minutes left. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not dragging a deer. I'm not gunning a deer, or dragging a deer out in this. I'm out. So those guys hit the howl and I'm like, nope.
Yep,
it was pretty cool though. It was a neat.
Yeah.
What else?
I'm trying to think what else we're forgetting. You know,
cabin, sitting in the cabin on the pond. It's beautiful, beautiful trip.
That was
beautiful
good. Country. So, we get out there, right? And I told my archery story. First day we were there, it was archery season. The whole idea of the blind being close by and the guys pulling up on a trailer, you know, the blinds on a trailer, all that, whatever. We go off for gun season first day. And I was about 8:30, and we had a doe walk between us, you and I. Put her down. I had a doe tag for up there, so got that taken care of. And then that was interesting because we gutted her and then left the pile. I don't know. She was like 50, 60 yards from me. Put her back in the side-by-side, and then I went and hung in that same tree for the rest of the afternoon. But as you were getting down out of the tree, like you were talking about the wolves, you know, there's a fresh gut pile that's really not that far away. You're a little bit cautious walking out of the woods, and you know, it gets dark quick up there and all that. So
it does get dark quick up there. That dark timber, man. We are just not used to. I mean, we're talking like 100 acres intermixing this giant. I mean, I think the total property that we were hunting, this the forest, was, I think I saw 62,000 acres or something like that. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
I mean, you just have these massive swaths of for a half a mile of just this dark timber, and you could not see. It was gorgeous in there. A lot of deer sign, a lot of bear sign, a lot of wolf sign. But man, it was
tough.
It was so dark. And I, the only shooter buck that I had get somewhat close to me, never stepped out of this dark timber. I was hunting like this little kind of cutover. Never came out of that dark timber. It was tending the doe. I watched this doe for 40 minutes. And this buck, and he happened to be on just one of the few pieces of private property, just never presented a shot and just stayed in that dark. I could barely see him. I mean, every once in a while, I just get a little glimpse of him. Stuff would just disappear there as soon as it walked in or out of it. It was wild.
And just to be clear, like, they had the antler point restrictions up there too. Three points on a side. As many doe that we saw up there, the bucks were very, very elusive. I really thought that was the middle of November. Yeah. I thought we'd get some rutting activity. There wasn't anything going on along those lines. So that part, I mean, anticlimactic, but you know, we didn't bring home any shooter bucks, but the hunt itself was tough. I felt like I saw a lot of deer being up in that saddle, but I didn't see the right deer. And then hunting from the ground was difficult. The terrain itself, like, we've talked about that, but it was also weird. You have these really dark patches of timber, but like where we sat that one night, you and I and Glenn were out in the middle of that little thicket. It was like a meadow in the middle of,
it was beautiful. It was surrounded by that dark timber.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely surrounded. And it was just beautiful. And we thought for sure,
you'd see,
like, we're going to see something. We saw nothing. I mean, absolutely no deer movement. And it was spitting snow, and it was cold, and it was windy, you know, not crazy wind, but we were literally hunting on top of a wolf den. Like, you could see where these things had, like, just dug and gone into. You see freaking wolf tracks everywhere. And
yeah,
it was crazy, man.
So that's kind of what do we do? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday hunting. But that's kind of like the story of the actual hunt itself. I'd be happy to go back up there again and give it another.
It was a blast. Yeah.
I think we, you know,
I really want a doe tag. I mean, I had I had freaking does within 10 feet of me with the first 20 minutes. And you ended up hearing them blow, you know, and they kind of rolled up. But I mean, they were all over me, man. The yeah. does were, I mean, we think that we have a problem here in Ohio with does. It was everywhere. And we saw does everywhere.
Everywhere. At 11 o'clock in the morning, eating on the side of the road, yeah. right? Like they were yep. just everywhere.
During the gun season. There's 1,000 doe tags sold on that island every year. I'd be interested to see how many people are taking does off that property.
Probably not as many as 1,000. I can guarantee yeah. that. But, you know, the fun part, Paul, had nothing to do with actually when we were out in the woods. So
no.
What was that? The first
thing? This is right after we recorded the podcast that everyone listened to.
Yes. Tuesday. We're sitting there after dinner, right? And
yeah.
just, I have to say this, we did watch Escanaba in the Moonlight like 6 times, thanks to Derek Tolles down there at Go Wild, you know, who introduced us to that. So if it wasn't for Derek, I wouldn't be so enlightened in life.
But legend.
We were probably
legendary movie.
Probably watching that, sitting around just bullshitting. All of a sudden, we hear this like, it almost sounded like somebody was stomping their shoes on the deck. And we're like, yeah. what
the It heck? Was the sled. It was on the trailer. The beaver tail got flipped off of the trailer. Yeah. That's what I heard.
And it's, you know, so we hear this noise outside.
No. Nope.
Glenn runs to the one door. He's like, oh my God, it's a wolf. And then.
Wait, so he didn't say it right away. He's just like, I feel like.
That's a wolf.
I feel like something's missing or something's there. He's like, I think something took your deer. And then he's like, oh my God, it's a wolf. Like screams it.
And then Bobby runs over. He's like, no, it's a bear. And I'm just like, it's taking my deer. And you, hey, bear. Burr. And,
yeah, that's all I could say. I ran out. I'm like, hey, bear. That's all I could say. It's a person came out, to mind.
Flashlight in tow. Next thing you know, there is a 300-pound yogi that is dragging this doe across the yard like a rag doll. And
like nothing. Absolutely nothing.
It had gone up on the trailer. Pulled it off, flipped the sled off, pulled it off, and just drug it across. And then what? For the next hour and a half, we played
yeah.
cat and mouse with this bear. Because
we're trying to figure out how to get this bear. Like, there aren't any good trees to hang this deer from. And we're just like, this thing would like come. It wasn't charging us, so I didn't feel in danger at all. But there was a moment I'm like, we got to get this damn thing up on the deck. Because this thing, the bear kept coming back out, and so you come out like you had your pistol, you're gonna fire a shot off if it changed, and it just was with like in 20 feet of us the entire time, just like 20 yards, maybe closer than that at some point, just trying to like find a moment to come in. So
and Paul,
licking blood off the deck, and
Paul named him Terrence, so he had a name.
Yeah,
that came early in the story. So Terrence the bear. We fended him off for at least an hour. Flashlight, pistol, just we didn't actually shoot at the bear for the record. We were just
no,
prepared.
No, we didn't.
And we drug the deer
we
back.
We took more video of the bear than anything.
Yeah. We drug the deer back, but we're at the same time, and mind you, it's cold, we're outside. We're trying to game plan on what the hell to do with this bear because like Paul said, we didn't have any branches. We didn't have any trees. We didn't have anywhere to put this bear. It's not. We can't bring it inside. It's warm. I mean, one of the ideas we came up with was to butcher it that right then and there. And
this is like 10:30 at night.
Yeah, man. Tired after a day of hunting in the cold. I wasn't ready to butcher that thing. I don't like to rush that.
No.
So Bobby let us graciously borrow his truck, and we tossed the deer into the truck. And drove it down into town. So
his truck had a cap on it. Yeah.
So that it was away from this bear. The whole time, though, like one person is videotaping, recording all this. One person is standing there with a flashlight and a pistol. The other people are dragging the deer and trying to get it into the pickup truck while keeping Terry at bay. So old scary Terry.
Scary Terry.
And you know, the funny part was, as the week went on, so the next day I brought the deer back. I butchered it. I put it in the freezer. But I didn't know anything to do with the carcass. So what I do? I put it back on the trailer. Well, guess who came and took it off the trailer from us? So Scary Terry then took the carcass to his hole, his den, whatever you want to call it, which I'm 99% sure was the culvert in between these two cabins, because every day we'd
pull. He was always around. He was took always a casserole off the deck the next day. I mean, the best part was when, like, old Terrence ripped the tail off of your deer,
which
at some point in the drag. And so, like, you just find this just tail on the freaking trailer,
which
are you? It's just,
I have, and it's hanging in my barn. That's my reward. I got that back from Terry.
Yeah.
But how about,
yeah,
it was a couple days later, I get a knock at the door, and it's the maintenance people from this property. Yeah, we're getting complaints about the deer carcass laying in the yard. Can you do something about that? I'm like, well, there's a bear here. He, you know, lives over there in that pipe, and he comes and takes it every day. I don't really know what to do with it. Well, can you put it in one of our dumpsters or something? Oh, no, he goes, oh, yeah, sir, there's a lot of bears on this island, and I just want to be like, no shit, Sherlock. I know there's a lot of bears on this island, but I'm telling you, right now, that bear is in that culvert pipe, and he comes out at night, and he comes very close to everybody. Maybe this is normal if you live up in the UP, but I don't know. I feel like old Scary Terry, he's gonna take a bite out of somebody at the wrong time one of these days, and somebody's gonna be in trouble. Like, you probably need to do something about this bear, because he's not tiny. He's not a little bear. I showed Mitchell a picture of that bear when I was over in Pennsylvania, and he's very familiar with bears. He's like, and I think I said, that's about 250-pound bear. He goes, oh, no, dude, that's at least a 300-pound bear. Like, that's a good-sized bear.
Well, I mean, there's a point. So Bobby and I drive out, park his truck, drive back, and we get there, and the damn bear is on the trailer licking the blood. And we're on a side-by-side. And I pull up. I'm like, well, here we go. And so we get out. And this bear runs, and he's like 25, 30 feet from me. And he stands up to climb this tree. And this bear, I mean, I'm 6'3", 6'2", 6'3". This damn thing was a foot and a half taller than me. And this is a big bear. When he stood on his hind legs, I was like, oh, shit.
Dude, and he was climbing the trees. That's so impressive. Like, he just shimmy.
Super athletic, man.
Shimmy right up those things. So.
Yeah, no, it was cool. The best part of it really was like all of the panic and just running around trying to figure out what the hell we're gonna do and not get, you know, attacked by a bear. The jokes that came out of it were really funny. Like how he got Terrence was, you know, I made a comment about, you know, I'm sure he's been, you know, stealing people's pot gummies, because weed in marijuana, if you've not been to Michigan, it's like every 30 feet there is a free dispensary, right? Everywhere. And I'm not knocking it. That's just the facts. They are everywhere. I'm like, this freaking bear's been out eating pot gummies, and now he's got the munchies. He's trying to get your bear. As we're going to come in, and you're going to be like, hey guys, here's Terrence. He's just high as hell watching Sooty Deer Camp. So just the jokes were awesome, man. And if you're listening, I'm sure you've got good deer camp stories too, but man, it was, you know, it's just those moments, man, were freaking hilarious. So.
Yeah, we might get a T-shirt or two out of that trip. We gotta get some designs
put
together.
Some T-shirt ideas written down. Very, very, very excited about that. So, you can buy the T-shirts that we do have currently at theo2podcast.com. Click on the shop tab, and you can order them. Andrew will hand deliver any orders over $5,000, and I will be there too. Order $5,000 shit, we're gonna go to your house. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, I'll give you that. I'll give you that one, Paul. For a second there, I was about to say false.
No. What else, man? What else? I mean, yeah, the deer camp was fun. The bear was great. It was a ton of snow. It's the only snow that I've seen all season. It got a couple inches. Drove back through like a foot of snow. It's on some parts. It was clear. I will give the Michigan road folks, they did a damn good job clearing the roads for us. So,
yeah. That was a good trip. So, if you know what, in both of these stories, the Pennsylvania and the Michigan one, you know, if you guys have never gotten out to hunt another state, I think it's a good challenge, and it's a good idea opportunity that you just got to go out and do it sometime. I think, Paul, you know, we had kind of agreed to do this back in July, and as it got closer, I'm like, man, that's a long way, and I don't know much about Michigan, and I don't know much UP and wolves and all this kind of stuff, but if you do your homework and stuff, and you know, it's not always about being successful with hunting and killing deer. A lot of times it's the friends you make and the time you have, but yeah, we got some surrounding states, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Kentucky, Michigan, that are going to offer you up much, perhaps much different landscapes than what you have if you're in, say, Western Ohio. So yeah. Get out there and take that challenge. If you've always been sitting in the same, you know, 40 acres on the same tree and everything else, and you want to take it to another level or just see what you can do in the big woods, some really, really good opportunities. And realistically, the tag cost, we're not talking $1,000 elk tag or anything like that. You can do this relatively cheap, get a buddy to share the gas with you and that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I mean, as far as like tags and license, it was less than, it was like $170 for everything in Michigan,
and no drawing. I mean, the lottery for the doe thing, but whatever.
Yeah,
like it's not,
no points needed. Yeah, it's a very easy process, so don't be intimidated by that.
Yeah. So I think that kind of recaps the
but main... yeah, it was a great time, man.
Yeah, that recaps kind of like the main points of our trips there, and I don't know, we'll see what else happens the rest of the year. Maybe we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with some of the upcoming shows, so we'll keep you in the loop on that, but I imagine we'll have some good stuff for you as we move closer.
Yeah, we'll have some, we got some good guests coming on, and yeah, thanks for listening, man.
Absolutely. If you feel so inclined, please leave us a review on whatever podcast software you use. Follow us on Go Wild O2 Podcast. Instagram is the.o2.podcast. Website, theo2podcast.com. I don't know. What else, Paul? Anything else on that front?
That's it, man. When you're as far as social media. So
doing your Christmas shopping, please take a look at our sponsors. They all have some really great things to offer. And next week, we'll be back at it for you. So
that's it, man. Yeah. Next week, gonna be fun.
Good luck this weekend, Paul, and good luck to anybody else out there doing your thing. Be safe.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.